Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
A lot of good stuff to get to on the show today. We're going to get to a big take with the theme of we're all being played. It'll be about Jalen Hurts. It'll be about Saquon Barkley and their differing decisions, as well as an interview that Donald Trump took part in with Jeffrey Goldberg and a couple of writers from The Atlantic. We'll get to that coming up. A lot of great stories today.
Oh, you're saying okay.
A lot of great stories.
No, it's I thought the Atlantic was the enemy of the people.
We'll talk about it. Also, the cut sheet absolutely loaded today. It's Tuesday, so that's usually Greg's favorite day of the cut sheet. And Dawn is back, so we give it to her for round number one of the news because the music bed is already running. 6:07, round number one. Fresh off of a trip to the Golden Arches in Missouri, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live. Tuesday morning, April 29th, as we wind down, we are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. So in the news this morning, and there's so much to talk about, but we want to get to a developing story overnight as we learn that a carjacking suspect who led police on a wild chase in the Northeast is dead. That confirmation from police this morning, this guy was shot dead by police after that chase happened last night. Started around 8 p.m. The driver was in a gray sedan being chased by police along the boulevard. This went on for at least 5 miles. Suspect could be seen traveling at a very high rate of speed against traffic on the boulevard. Pretty crazy as you look at the news chopper video of that. At one point, you could see the suspect traveling at that high rate of speed, like I say, headed into the traffic, against traffic. In other words, a game of chicken for anybody on the roadway. Suspect can even be seen pointing what looks like and what police say was a gun, pointing that out the window. So at the end of the day, the story here is that the suspect jumps out of the vehicle at some point, shoots multiple times. Officers then return those shots. So 115th District officer, 25th District officer, those officers were the ones who were shot at and returned fire, we're told. So the suspect initially was reported in critical condition in the hospital. We have the confirmation he is deceased, died at the hospital.
Be interesting to see what toxicology reports show. Is he just naturally stupid, driving the wrong way, doing what he did? Or was he under the influence of alcohol and or drugs?
Naturally stupid. Is that like a coroner's report? Yeah. That's official.
That's my definition of sober.
Oh, my God.
Naturally stupid.
Oh, my goodness. So that remains under investigation, but that's the latest on that one. A follow-up on a story that we had talked about. Remember when we had talked about the fact that a man seemed to be waiting for a woman as she was coming out to, this was a Montgomery County apartment complex, and she comes out early in the morning to go to work, to go to her car in the parking lot, and it would appear that a man was waiting for her and then jumps on her, attacks her, just a brutal attack. We showed you that video last week. It was all caught on surveillance cameras. Well, at this point, police say they have made an arrest of a man, 36-year-old Raymond Bautista of Allentown, Pennsylvania, arrested, charged with aggravated assault, but also aggravated assault of an unborn child. The woman is pregnant.
Well, now we know that was, I'm assuming it's safe to say, a targeted, identified attack that this person knew. I mean, Allentown to Montgomery County is a decent drive. You know, just don't drive all the way down there, to knock somebody over that you don't know.
That's how it would appear. Yeah. I imagine we'll get the rest of the details as far as the relationship, but the police have not released it. But to your point, Nick, police do confirm it was indeed a targeted attack against a pregnant woman.
If I recall, because we played the video here on the cut sheet last week, didn't after he jumped out, I mean, remember if you guys were watching on YouTube last week, this guy just flew into your screen out of nowhere, blindsided the lady, and I thought he kicked her or stomped her a couple of times.
If you look at the video, it looks like it. It looks like he's kicking her and then kind of jumps on top of her and with his arms to each side, punching her side to side.
Yep.
It's crazy. So he's in custody. Police say they continue to investigate. His preliminary hearing, by the way, next week, May 7th. So we've got that going on. Watching the latest in the trial of Maurice Hill. Remember, he's the guy accused of holding police on that standoff 6 years ago. It would be 6 years this coming up August, shooting multiple police officers. And so now at this point, we'll see how his defense team, now that the prosecution is rested, how his defense team takes over on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Maurice Hill, we got that going on. Obviously talking a lot about Eagles Super Bowl victory at the White House, who was there, who was not there, and even Trump weighing in on the tush push.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah, Big Dom was a big part
big
of the
hit.
Festivities. I'm told by my sources that Tom Homan might hire Big Dom to join the the Border Czar ICE team. Can you imagine that? Tom Homan and Big Dom together cleaning up the streets of America.
And since we talked about this yesterday, we were all texting each other last night. Not only will Trump be in Michigan later today celebrating his first 100 days in office, but as well, we hear locally and across the nation, a commemoration 18 years ago on this day, April 29th, 2007. This was the day First Lieutenant Travis Mannion, U.S. Marine, LaSalle College High School. Of course, this is why you were out yesterday.
Yep.
Nick,
beautiful day.
Commemorate his life and raise awareness and money, but he was killed in action on this day.
Yeah, Ryan Mannion with a great speech yesterday. Colonel Tom Mannion, great speech. Perfect day for golf at the Union League in Liberty at Liberty Hill over in Lafayette Hill. Just a beautiful course. We actually played really well, by the way.
You
by
did?
The way, yes. We out of 29 groups, we ended up finished tied for fourth at 13 under par. The winning score was 16 under.
Look at you.
Yeah, we all had a really good day. Most people brought their A game.
And you were playing with a winner, or not a winner, but somebody who donated to the Radiothon.
Yes,
March,
yes.
Right?
Donated, I think, $1,500, and it was a foursome. So,
What was the gentleman's name?
Sean, Matthew, and Keith.
Nice.
Great
nice.
Group of guys.
Nice. And I noticed they said Greg Stocker sucks.
Yes, they did. They said, I don't always agree with Greg, but I will say, this was Matthew, the guy that paid for the donation.
Yeah.
But I do love the cut sheet, he says.
Okay, good.
Nice.
So it was kind of Jalen Hurts. It was kind of passive aggressive, I got to be honest.
Well, speaking of that, so before we came on the air, just before, they were talking about a new survey that says 84% of adults planning to celebrate bigger than ever Mother's Day upcoming, spending what is guesstimated to be $34 billion in spending on Mother's Day, mostly flowers. So I would suggest, rather than flowers and rather than breaking the bank, why not go to our sponsor this morning, Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Secrets of spoiling the moms in your life this spring. Three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. You can visit in person or online. JosephAnthony.com, where gift cards are always available. JosephAnthony.com. As we heat up to 82 degrees, a little breeze today, but feeling summer-like. I don't know if Nick Cale will be out sneaking out to golf a little bit more.
No, I'm done. I'm sore as hell, Dawn. I'm going home and taking a massive nap today.
Big nap time.
Big nap.
Cale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, a big take on a Tuesday. Stay right there. Nick Cale, Dawn Stenzel, and Greg Stocker. It's Cale and Company. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Cale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Christy Nome purse update yet again. Also, the Virginia Jeffries story, her lawyer saying, I'm not so sure about this. We'll give you those details. And then also, a very interesting story from the New York Times with the headline, A Progressive Mind in a MAGA Body. We'll get to that story coming up a little bit later. But right now, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Cale and Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning. We're all being played, so don't take the bait. You know, I've worked with Dawn Stenzel now for closing in on 3 years, and I've learned three things. One, the media has a bias by omission. Two, Dawn has said many times, quote, get it together, GOP. And in fact, they have, hence the wins last fall. And number three, we're all getting played. Today's theme of the Big Take is about the third thing, getting played and taking the bait. As Joe Biden says on my board of drops, don't. Do not allow politicians to play you, whether they're on your team or on the opposing team. And that rings true today with two stories revolving around Donald Trump. First of all, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles going to the White House to be honored for winning Super Bowl 59. Who went and who didn't? Followed by Donald Trump's recent interview with The Atlantic that dropped yesterday. But we begin with the Eagles at the White House on Monday and the stark contrast to the Birds star running back Saquon Barkley and their franchise quarterback Jalen Hurts. The 2,000-yard running back has no issue with surrounding himself with Donald Trump. The face of the franchise, Jalen Hurts, apparently wants no part of 47. But let's go through this timeline. Here was Jalen Hurts last Thursday at the Time Magazine Top 100 Gala when asked about whether or not he would attend Monday's White House ceremony. Listen and watch.
Are you planning on visiting the White House next week?
Got it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
So, no answer there. I said it the first time we discussed this on Friday's Cut Sheet, and I'll say it again. That was a passive-aggressive Donovan McNabb-type response. Well, we got our answer yesterday. Jalen Hurts did not attend. Hurts claimed that it was due to a scheduling conflict, but I'm calling BS on that. That said, I don't hate him for it. I've been a Jalen Hurts fan since 2016 when he was a freshman for Nick Saban at Alabama. He's a class act. He's a good guy. He does a lot of good things for Philadelphia School District students, like providing air conditioners for schools without them. But here is my stance on this one last time. I thought he would go. I said that multiple times on the show. I'm disappointed that he didn't go. It's fine if he didn't, but I believe as a $50 million face of the franchise, I believe you should go and you should suck it up. Put a smile on your face, get it over with, and then head on out. I personally would go either way, regardless of party affiliation and regardless of who is in the White House. But when you combine the non-answer of last week with the scheduling conflict this week, that's why I arrive at the conclusion it's BS. But at the end of the day, it's his right. I still love the guy, and I really care about the fact that he wins Super Bowls. That's all I'm judging him on. I'm not in the business of the left with canceling opposing viewpoints in politics and canceling people from my life, whether it's in sports, pop culture, entertainment, family, and friends, just because they do something politically that doesn't jive with me. Plus, Jalen Hurts, and nobody's talking about this, he attended the Trump White House the first time Trump was in office when Alabama won the national championship in 2017. Phil, please throw this picture up of Trump, Jalen Hurts, and Nick Saban on YouTube. Over in the left-hand corner, you will see a young Jalen Hurts. Much like I didn't hold it against Jalen Hurts for not going, I don't think anybody should hold it against Saquon Barkley for having to apologize or issue a single word of a statement on social media after being with Trump on Sunday at Bedminster. But he did. The legendary running back tweeted the following yesterday. Phil, if you could throw this up on YouTube. Saquon Barkley says, LOL, some people are really upset because I played golf and flew to the White House with the president. Maybe I just respect the office. Not a hard concept to understand. Just golfed with Obama not too long ago. And I look forward to finishing my round with Trump. Now get out of my mentions with all this politics and have an amazing day. To which I say, you owe nobody an apology, Saquon. If you allow either guy's decisions to ruin your Eagles Sunday, whether or not they went to see Donald Trump or not, in my opinion, that's a you problem. This is not a Colin Kaepernick situation. This is not kneeling for the flag. Here was Donald Trump talking about the world champion Eagles and star running back Saquon Barkley. Listen and watch.
The season started off slow, but you soon caught fire with your great coach inspiring you, and you got the ball to your superstar running back who I met yesterday, and I want to tell you he's a handsome guy, but I wouldn't want to tackle him. Saquon Barkley. Where's Saquon? He's good. I got to know him a little bit. I offered him a ride on Air Force One because I was coming down. And usually they say, no, I don't think so. He said, I'll take it, sir. And he loved it. We love being together. He's a great young guy.
Now we get to Donald Trump and The Atlantic, as 47 sat down for an interview with the same publication that broke the first Pete Hegseth Signal App Chat story. The title of the column, "I Run the Country and I Run the World." Trump writes, or I should say they write, Donald Trump explains his victory and his plan. It was written by Ashley Parker and Michael Scherer, as well as editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg, who is the man who released the Hegseth story. But staying with Dawn's theme of we're all being played, let's think about this for a moment. After the Hegseth story with Signal, it was the Atlantic is the enemy of the people, which I don't think you're really wrong in saying that. They write a lot of stuff that I don't agree with. And also, nobody should trust the Atlantic reporters. Trump even said, quote, "I didn't even know they were still in business," end quote. What happens? He sits down for an interview with them. And then on the flip side, The Atlantic writes things like Trump is Hitler, Trump's a Nazi, Trump is a threat to democracy. I love politics. I love Republican policies. Trump is my guy. I can't stand the far left policies and their woke ideology. But I'm not a sucker. I'm not going to be played. And I wouldn't allow yourself to get played. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 is the number. You can be involved on social media at 1210WPHT. That is the X handle. You can fire away with your YouTube comments, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. So, again, the notable Eagle players who didn't attend the ceremony yesterday, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Carter, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean, Josh Sweat, and Nolan Smith. Some of those guys no longer on the team. The notable players who were present, Saquon Barkley, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Mekhi Becton, Reed Blankenship, Cooper DeJean, and James Bradberry. Dawn, your thoughts on the two notables, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley. One goes, one doesn't. How do you handle that? How do you interpret that?
You know, I don't remember a time with other teams that we said, well, who went and who didn't go, or who on the offensive line went and who, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to look into this, and I don't really think it matters. I don't. I think, first of all, Saquon Barkley is the future of the franchise, and he was there big time. And so that's wonderful. But also, you know, Johnson was there. I there were so many who were there. Dom, whether it was Sirianni, whether it was Jeff Lurie who spoke. And I think, you know, Jeff Lurie saying that when he was a kid growing up and he would see this with, you know, the White House and presidents of the past celebrating Super Bowl teams and dreaming of that moment, that's what matters. To me, at the end of the day, I'm glad they went. I think it was classy. I think it was, they had a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm going to take those who didn't go at their word.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a scheduling conflict, okay, that's fine. So, they missed out, and that's unfortunate, but I don't think it, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me.
I look at it from the standpoint of I don't buy scheduling conflicts when you have something that big, that far out that you knew of. We knew for weeks that they were going, and that was going to be the day, Monday, April 28th. I think that was broke. That story broke maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Remember, we were talking about whether or not the team would accept the invitation. They didn't go the first time around. But there was a mixed bag of people, because we were all talking about it yesterday while we were golfing at Travis Mannion Foundation's Radiothon golf outing. Some people saying that they don't agree with Jalen Hurts. It's out of respect for the office that you go. Other people said they didn't care one way or the other. They keep politics and sports separate. And then I had a few people, especially at the dinner afterwards when we finished around 7, they didn't even know that the Eagles were at the White House yesterday. So you talk about like some people just not being aware of the things that we talk about for a living, and that was in play as well. But then again, I was trying to chronicle some of our round yesterday on X by posting some pictures. I saw the story about Jalen Hurts from 6 ABC break in the early afternoon, or maybe it was even in the late morning, and I retweeted it, and a couple of people from 6 ABC that saw that tweet that follow me responded. And I want to give you the two differences in opinions, because I think people are actually somewhat split. I think there's a third of people that care, a third that don't, and a third that just probably didn't even know. Let me read this. This was from Stephen Gary at SAG1015 in regards to Saquon Barkley being with Trump. Stephen says he owes Americans an apology. What? Saquon Barkley. So this is obviously an anti-Trump guy. Stephen Gary, some guy who follows me. Then on the other side, Wes Bartlett at Sages IM tweets me in regards to Jalen Hurts not going. I liked Jalen. His true colors shown today. And this is just an awful thing to say. Hoping for a career ender in the first game next year. No class liberal douchebag. That was the response of Wes Bartlett, who's got a puppy dog for his Twitter avatar. Jeez. I mean, look, I would have preferred Jalen Hurts to go, but to wish injury upon somebody that you used to like that simply decided not to go to the White House? I mean, why would you ever? That's one of like the rules of sports. It's like the unwritten rule. You never cheer an injury. Remember 25, 30 years ago when Michael Irvin got hurt at the Vet and they had to cart him out on the stretcher because I think he broke his neck or was almost paralyzed. And there were some people that cheered. Like that kind of makes you a low life, right? You don't root for somebody to have a career ending injury. Yeah. So there was a stark contrast in opinions that I saw on X. Again, I know X is not real life.
Can I just tell, I thought Saquon Barkley, he put LOL, some people are really upset because I played golf and flew to the White House with the president, all caps.
Yeah.
Maybe I just respect the office, not a hard concept to understand. Just golfed with Obama not too long ago. Look forward to finishing my round with Trump. Now you get out my mentions with all this politics and have an amazing day.
Yeah.
Boom.
The best was, not the best, but the most transparent. Did you see Les Bowen?
No.
You know Les Bowen is?
Yeah, former Daily News writer.
Yeah. He said, Saquon is a good person and a wonderful player. It's tricky when people in sports with huge platforms and good intentions blunder into stuff they don't fully grasp. To me, this is Reggie White at the Wisconsin legislature level cluelessness. Not a bad guy, but out of his depth. Can you imagine the gall of Les Bowen to sit here and say, Saquon just doesn't know what he's doing.
He's not intelligent enough to know what he's representing.
Let White Les Bowen explain to Saquon Barkley what he doesn't understand about this. Like screw you, dude.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Give me a break.
Yeah, preaching from his soapbox.
And I would have said the same thing if somebody said the same about Jalen Hurts not attending.
Yes.
These guys know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
They're all savvy businessmen. They are.
Right.
Or they have savvy businessmen around them.
And all of these guys, specifically Barkley and Hurts, because those are the two most notable guys on this team and the two biggest reasons why this team won a championship. I mean, these guys are making massive amounts of money where they can, again, different rules for different fools, different players, different kind. Saquon Barkley's not worried about losing endorsements. Jalen Hurts not worried about losing endorsements. They're not the 53rd player on the roster. They're going to be fine financially. And I do think it's insulting to say that you don't think either one of these guys can sit here and talk a little about the economy or talk a little bit about illegal immigration. But guess what? You know what? You don't really need to know any of that to go to the White House. And the last time I checked, how about this? Of all the presidents we've had in our lifetime, are there any two bigger personalities when it comes to pop culture and crossover appeal? Regardless of whether you like either one of them, than Donald Trump and Barack Obama? No.
Yeah.
Was George Bush pop culture? No. Was Joe Biden pop culture? No. Obama's got this charisma. Trump is a unicorn. He's one of one.
Bill Clinton was.
Bill Clinton, correct.
Yes.
There are, I think, some presidents that transcend politics.
Yep.
In my lifetime, it's probably Reagan, Clinton, Obama, and Trump. The Bushes didn't move the needle in that genre of entertainment. Biden certainly did not. And nobody else that was in the mix in the running, Hillary, you name it, nobody else did. So I have no problem with these people going. But, like, does Les Bowen even write for the Daily News anymore, or is he retired?
I'm not 100% sure.
I thought he retired, but nice to see that he still has an elitist D-bag view from 30,000 feet.
The racial undertones of that, you know what I mean?
Very elite.
Black running back does not know the depths of politics like I do, and he went to the White House not knowing, like, oh, God, can you be any more of a out of touch J-off.
Yeah, I agree. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. And then on the other side of the big take with The Atlantic and Trump. So the interview, which was conducted by Jeffrey Goldberg, who's the editor-in-chief, Ashley Parker and Michael Schur, they sat down in this interview and Trump reiterated that Waltz and Hegseth are respectively, quote, fine and safe in their current roles, saying, quote, I think we learned, maybe we don't use Signal, okay? If you want to know the truth, I would frankly tell these people not to use Signal, although it's been used by a lot of people. But whatever it is, whoever has it, whoever owns it, I wouldn't want to use it. Parker asked, you don't use Signal yourself? Trump said, I don't use it. No. So that's actually the same thing that I was saying after Signal Chat Story 1, Signal Chat Story 2, and Signal Chat Story 3. Are we really relegated to a little app messenger chat thing? Trump's not a fan of it. I have not been a fan of it since this story broke. I think there's probably better ways to communicate with confidential secret information than basically this alleged app that's apparently safe and used by everybody. But boy, I tell you what. A lot of leaks come from Signal Chat. I would have moved elsewhere.
The biggest story, I think, out of that Atlantic thing, other than the fact that he did it, because you're 100% right that it's this, you know, both sides where the Atlantic is they're the enemy of the people and don't trust the Atlantic and Jeffrey Goldberg is a lying blah 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 blah. But I'll sit down and do a cover story with him. And on the other hand, the Atlantic is like, it's the end of democracy. Trump is a threat to democracy. He's Hitler. But we'll do an interview with him.
What do you think the motive was for Trump to do it? Do you think it was to get a little off-the-record info from Goldberg, some self-reconnaissance on maybe some things that Goldberg was sitting on that he didn't fully release, that he can kind of keep in the memory bank when dealing with Waltz or Hegseth in the future? Was that part of it? Do you think it was, one of these things where it's an ego stroke? I mean, this is, to me, and if you were to sit here and say, who needs who more? I think The Atlantic needs Trump.
Of course.
Way more than Trump needs The Atlantic.
There's no reason, honestly, for Trump to do the interview with The Atlantic. I don't know why he did it.
But he does this. I'm trying to remember. No, there was something that was remarkable to me.
3D chess.
No, when
well, that's what I'm wondering. What's the motive?
The motive for Trump is, first of all, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I mean, he has always worked the media. He is good with the media, but even those that you think he doesn't like, he talks to all of them regularly and keeps them close. And which is smart, because when you completely alienate them and don't open up the conversation, you're just inviting them to bash you
and be more hostile.
Yeah.
More agenda driven. Yep. Maybe this, you know, greases the skids a little bit,
absolutely.
You owe me one because I just gave you 3,500 words and a bunch of clicks and downloads.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's trying to keep the conversation lines open.
855-839-1210.
The best thing, one of the best things about this, too, is that they released a transcript of it. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did.
Michael Schur said that he believes Trump butt-dialed him.
Yes, at 1:30 in the morning, which was interesting. Trump said, no, I didn't. He goes, did you mean to call me when you were leaving UFC 314? He's like, no, it must have been a Signal app. I mean, somehow they got Trump's cell phone number, and that's how this whole thing was arranged.
It's hysterical.
I don't know. Dawn, do you have Trump's cell phone number?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. Are you texting him during that
break? Oh, yeah,
break?
We're texting.
I can see that.
He loves Kale and Company.
He should. We had a great interview about his kid. We tried to take a different approach. Kale and Company, as we continue, we'll get an update. We've got pictures of the illegal immigrant that swiped Kristi Noem's purse. And then wait until you find out what he did with what was inside of her purse.
But,
Yeah.
Just to wrap up, one of the things we're talking about Les Bowen.
Yeah.
He actually works for that PHLY Sports.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Gargano's joint.
Failure thing that's...
Yeah. Be out of business in 18 months.
Okay. They get 30 views on their thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I wish them well. There's some good guys over there. Kaley Company.
There are, yes.
We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word about our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders, because I think when you're furnishing your home, you want to avoid the cheap mass-produced junk, right? So that's why Bucks County Estate Traders comes into play. They will be furnishing our home coming up this summer, and they have a massive 58,000 square foot showroom. And inside of that, 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture, brands like Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, and more. No matter the style, classic, modern, rustic, traditional, you're going to find stunning pieces that fit your home. And it doesn't matter if it's the living room, the dining room, the home office, the man cave, the loft, you name it, Bucks County Estate Traders has it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you could take it home the same day. Every piece comes with a QR code, which will display the details instantly. And their expert staff, the best in the business. No pushy salespeople, just straight shooters who know their stuff. Pro tip, you can check out their website right now and call ahead. They'll have pieces that you want ready to show you. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Illegal immigrant who robbed secretary was arrested again and again, but always let go. The headline, a gnome criminal. Phil, if you want to throw up a few of these pictures, we now have the identity of this individual via surveillance, and we'll rotate through a couple of these pictures while I give this story. So, according to the New York Post, the booze-hound illegal migrant who snatched DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's Gucci purse drank for hours thanks to her American Express card at an Italian eatery after pulling off the capper. That, according to shocking details released by the federal authorities, his name? Mario Bustamante Leiva, 49 years old, caught on camera, blowing $205.87 on food and alcohol at Angelo Ristorante Italiano in Washington, D.C. on April 20th, just minutes after he slyly made off with her shoulder bag. Charging documents from the U.S. Attorney's Office of D.C. shows. Now, they also go on to say in this story that Bustamante Leiva stayed at the Red Sauce joint until about midnight. Charging documents said before leaving, heading outside, and falling asleep on a table. He remained there until about 7:30 a.m. before wandering off. That's kind of the way my Saturday nights go during the college football season. I booze, I fall asleep on a table, and then I just wander off later in the night. In two other incidents, though, this guy, on April 17th at a D.C. coffee shop, also committed another theft. And then also on April 12th, he was careful to slip a jacket over his arm before approaching his victim, and with the help of an accomplice to shield him from view, appeared to slip the bag from his victim and hide it under his coat before walking off. Phil, can we go back to the one picture of the guy, of the suspect wearing a mask at the bar where he's sitting there, he's got a glass or whatever, the credit card, Kristi Noem's probably No Limit American Express. And there he is, hat, looks like a KN95 COVID mask across the face, and I'm presuming eyeglasses or sunglasses. This guy did everything in his power to avoid detection, still gets caught and apprehended. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Dawn. Now, Phil had a picture, and he told me yesterday, and we never got to it. So then I asked him to have it today, and for some reason he deleted it, but that's neither here nor there. He attended a minor league baseball game over the weekend, and the lady in front of him, in the row ahead of him, had her purse, and I guess Phil was elevated where he was looking down a little bit on the next row, and the lady had her purse behind her chair at the baseball game, behind her head. Whereas if you were walking across that concourse, you could just swipe the purse and be gone, and she wouldn't have even known a thing had happened. Is there any point now where you're starting to think that this is somewhat Kristi Noem's fault, or is this still on the bad hombre, who has apparently been in jail multiple times and is an illegal immigrant?
Yeah, I don't blame her. I think that this is an example of allegedly, and there's a second person arrested.
Yep.
And so they're not saying who that other person that they caught, I believe in Florida, was. But this guy, 49 years old, here illegally, according to the authorities. And so yesterday they were back in court because he's not just charged by D.C. police. Now he's charged at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they'll probably find out that they were part of a theft ring, because that's usually they work with others. And that's usually how these things go.
Well, you talked about it in your news. Remember, we mm-hmm. had the mainline bandits for a while where
yep.
they were hitting all these homes in Montgomery County, Lower
yep.
Marion. Yeah.
So I just think it's high. There's no evidence, by the way, that this guy knew who she was. They just thought it was another lady whose purse they were stealing.
Well, that's what I said yesterday when Tony and Harry were with us. I said they probably saw... She looked great. I mean, Kristi Noem doesn't go out in public looking like crap. They probably assume she's in this nice D.C. right outside of where all the politicians are down at our nation's capital. And they probably were like, oh, there's a high-end target, right? I mean, she kind of flaunts it a little bit. Not saying she deserves it. Not saying she has it coming. But if you're a purse bandit or a thief and you see Kristi Noem or you see Nick Kale, who do you think you're going to be able to steal more quality goods from? Probably Kristi Noem, right?
Well, you don't have a pocketbook.
No, I don't.
You know?
Nor do I have cash on me or any cash in the bank or anything like that. So, yeah, Kristi Noem, they probably were like, all right, this is the deal. Again, I still don't understand to this day how two Secret Service, I'm assuming multiple Secret Service agents, I don't know if it's two or if it's four. I mean, Kristi Noem is probably one of the 10 highest ranking members of Trump's administration. No idea how you could get within 6 feet of Kristi Noem when the Secret Service agents are reportedly no more than 7 feet from her, but they probably just were not paying attention.
It was a Louis Vuitton bag, or at least the wallet was that, so I'm assuming.
They say the purse is Gucci.
Oh, it was Gucci and then a Louis Vuitton wallet? Is that it?
Yes,
so the Louis
correct.
Vuitton. So, I mean, you know, the person knew that these were very expensive items,
mm-hmm.
you know, just by looking at a Gucci bag. You're talking about, it's probably $1,000 bag at least.
Is that what a Gucci bag goes for?
Sure.
Wow.
Probably $1,000 plus.
Okay.
And Louis Vuitton wallet is probably, you know, this is very expensive
okay.
merchandise.
There you go. 855-839-1210. Just two quick headlines to wrap up the hour. Kamala Harris will reemerge today as she is set to speak actually tomorrow at the Emerge Gala. It'll be the first time that she has publicly spoken since leaving office in January. Apparently, this is an event where women empower other women to run for office in the Democratic Party, saying, quote, I'm not going anywhere. The expectation is that she's going to offer pointed criticism of the Trump administration. We will be hanging on the edge of our seats for this commentary. And then also, we gave this story, and Dawn, you were off yesterday. I don't know if you had a thought on this or not, because it broke Friday night. I sent it in our group chat, Virginia Jeffrey committing suicide, according to reports. Yesterday, we talked about the story, and after we got off the air, Jeffrey's lawyer, Carrie Loudon, saying that we've got, quote, big question marks over this, saying, quote, when I got the phone call, I was like, are you joking? Because there was no sign that this was something that she was considering, the lawyer told The Sun. Any idea where Hillary Clinton might have been?
It's bizarre to me that we knew that she was, I don't know if we talked about this, that it looked like she had been in a car accident
yep.
or something, you know, been run over, had been targeted, and that releasing those photos of her all bashed, you know, her face all bruised and bashed in, and now to hear this, oh, she suddenly commits suicide?
I don't buy it at all.
It just seems very fishy.
And she tweeted 5-6 years ago, make no mistake about it, I'm not suicidal. If anything happens to me, and I'm paraphrasing here,
oh,
it's because they want to quiet and silence me. So we gave you that Twitter picture yesterday on YouTube. You can go back and find it if you would like. All right, we'll come back. News to kick off hour two. The cut sheet is about 45 minutes away. And then the Democrats are trying to make a makeover, embracing the F-bomb, going on dude podcasts, and also maybe trying to rally around a socialist that, according to the New York Times, has a MAGA body. I don't even know what a MAGA body is, but we'll talk about that. But he's got a progressive mind. Maybe Les Bowen wrote this column. Kale and Company, Hour 2, is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.